reflect a extolling of faith, and then he turns and prays, you know, that the righteousness is everlasting righteousness. Thy law is truth. And he could count on it. And even no matter what was going on about him, he could rejoice. And we have many instances in the New Testament with the conversions of rejoicing. One of my favorites is a Philippian jailer in Acts the 16th chapter. You know, he was going to kill himself. And then he hears the word of God. And Acts 16 there, Paul records that they rejoiced greatly. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 went on his way rejoicing. In Luke 7, we have this little story of this sinful woman who is kissing Jesus' feet and washing his feet because he has saved her from her sins. And she is so thankful and so joyful that she is weeping and she's caring for the Master. And so, you know, there's the Word of God brings rejoicing to the heart. It should. And so we should learn from that. You know, does the law of the Lord, because it's truth, does it matter in our hearts? And do we rejoice in it and be thankful for it and praise the Lord because we have this word? Okay, so the precepts of the Lord are right and they rejoice our hearts if we allow them to. If we look into them and apply them to our hearts and lives. Okay, and then he says over in chapter 19 again, the commands of the Lord are what?
Pure.
And because they're pure, they're not full of wickedness, there's nothing bad, they are pure. And they will not produce anything that is not pure. Their aim is to make righteous, to make pure. Okay? And they enlighten the eyes. What do you think that means? To enlighten the eyes. To make us see clearly. To make us see clearly. Like we were talking about a while ago. Nathan came and told, he was a prophet of God, and he told David, and enlightened his eyes that he was the sinner, that he had sinned, and that he needed to repent. The Bible can do that for us. The Word of God can do that to us. In James 1, Steve was teaching on that Sunday. And over in James 1, verse 21, it says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, okay, receive the word implanted. Am I on the right one? I'm on the wrong one. I went down. I'm so sorry. On this one, I want Proverbs, the third chapter. We'll go over and hit James in a minute. Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3:5-7. Sharon, would you read, please? Proverbs 3:5-7.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall guide thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
So often, what we do is we depend on our own wisdom, or we look to the wisdom of the world to solve the problems, to gain insight into situations, or to form opinions on relationships and how we're going to act and those kinds of things. But the Word of God helps us to see clearly, you know, that we don't have to lean on our own understanding, because, you know, that's going to get us in trouble. So often in Proverbs, he says that, you know, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end therein is death. It's said about 5 times, you know, in some of the wording there, that if we do the schemes of men, or if we think our own thoughts and we don't depend on the Word of God, that we cannot see clearly ourselves, the situations, or eternity, and what we need to be in order to be pleasing to God. Practical. Priorities. How to raise our children. Better managers. How to have better marriages. How to deal with life's sorrows. How to deal with life's disappointments. We see more clearly how to deal with those. And the world of unbelief out there may think us foolish because of the dependence upon thus saith the Lord. Or the Lord says to handle this situation this way. How in the world can that fix that? See, that's their wisdom talking. It's not going to fix it. You know, this is what you need to do. How often do we hear that? How often do we maybe say that to ourselves? But the law of the Lord helps us to see clearly. His judgments are right. His judgments are pure. His law is truth. Now, what else did y'all put down? Any more? What else? It endures forever. What's that say to us? What assurance and what confidence can we get from that?
It's about the only thing that's forever.
Can you count on it? You can count on it. It endures. We see things in our life every day. Relationships, loved ones, you know, things of this life. Joys, they don't endure. They pass on. They pass away. Things come and go. But God and His Word and His love and His assurance that if we keep His Word, it endures forever. And if we comply to it, if we make it our own, there's a great reward in that, isn't there? Some of His promises. What are some of the promises that we have, that we've talked about? That if we serve Him, we're going to endure forever too, aren't we? We're going to live with Him forever. So, the Word in our hearts, the Word of God endures forever. It's not going to change. Yes.
It actually says the fear of the Lord.
Where?
And His Word endures forever. Well, that's how, at least that's how my version reads. Verse 9.
Yeah, by fearing the Lord and keeping.
Enduring forever. Mm-hmm. To me, that says that if I can count on, He's not going to change. If
right.
I fear the Lord, He's not going to change. He's going to be the same forever. And that I can count on that. Mm-hmm. And so if I believe all these other things, that His Word's perfect and all that, as long as I have the proper fear in Him, He's going to reward me. All these
right.
things about this is going to stay the same.
Right.
But it's dependent upon my being fearful of Him and realizing that He's not going to change. He is going to be the same forever.
Exactly.
And it's not going to be a different standard for me than 1,000 years from now or 1,000 years past.
Right.
It's still, you have to have faith in His Word and do what it says.
And that's true. The fear of the Lord. And, you know, as Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. What's it say?
The fear of the Lord.
Okay. And I was afraid I had it backwards. And his judgments are true. Let's read that. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. What did y'all put down anything for that?
The judge is all the same.
Okay. And they are righteous. So many judgments out here. Even we can make false judgments sometimes. We may not mean to, but we can make bad judgments. We can be unjust. The world makes unjust judgments. But the Lord's judgments and what He commands and what and how He reproves and how He disciplines us by His Word, they are righteous. They are true righteousness. And His gospel coming down through, His indictment of man is true, and His way to fix man's sin is true righteousness. And so the Lord's judgments, everything He judges, and as we're going to study, and you know, I don't want to speak where God hasn't told us things, but in His rising and falling and bringing down nations, His judgments are right. We may not understand everything that happens in the world we live in, but as we have a class, God is in control. Don't worry about it. You know, be assured, God's watching. God's in control, and all His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And so we can be assured in that. He is the Creator. He loves us. He's the Sustainer. And His judgments are right and righteous. Okay. And there is great reward in keeping God's Word. Did you all have any thoughts on that? We're warned by them. We are acceptable, okay, in God's sight. James 1 that I was reading a while ago, the end of that is, the Word is able to save your soul. Great reward. Able to save your soul. Romans 12 talks about renewing our mind in that and transforming our mind. And it does it because we can prove what is good. It's prove what is acceptable. Prove what is perfect. Prove what is the will of God. In our lives, we can do that. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be blameless. And that's what the Word of God can do for us. All through Proverbs, and especially in the first 8-9 chapters, it talks about what wisdom will do for us, what God's wisdom will do. You go through and you see, you know, the understanding and the discretion, and it'll keep us from the evil one. And as we read a while ago, the dread of evil. Even in evil times, we don't have to be afraid because of God's Word in our hearts. And we know, and being assured that God's in heaven and that He's in control. So, any other thoughts on that? On that passage?
One thing I put in is it's more valuable than gold.
Right.
We can, you know, people desire worldly things.
Right.
But this is something that the poorest man can have and enjoy that is riches.
That's exactly right. And he talks about silver, and he talks about the true value all through Proverbs again too. And then what will a man give in exchange for a soul? And over in Psalm 1, it says, How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Even in this life, if you have the wisdom of the Lord, the law of the Lord in your heart, if you fear the Lord and keep His commandments, in this life, you can be like a tree that's planted by the streams. Your root, you're not going to be carried away by every wind. You're not going to be blown around like chaff. You're going to be firmly planted. You're going to have the root. You're going to bear good fruit. You're not going to perish. You're not going to wither up and die. Things, bad things, good things, you know, to happen because we just live in this world, in this life, they can come, but we can stand. Our faith can stand, and we can make good choices, and we can, as he said, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, he will prosper. That can be only, sometimes, just eternal life. Because bad things sometimes do happen to good people in this life. But the Lord is watching. And we have promises that we're going to look at in another study that will help us and assure us that He's not going to put on us more than what we can bear. And with it, the trials, you know, James 1 talks about trials, temptations, those kinds of things. God is there. God is helping. His Word is there. He gives us His Word to help us, ladies. He disciplines us by His Word. He comforts us by His Word. He establishes us by His Word. Okay. Any other thoughts on that section? As a woman, what passages might I have? I wanted to put this in because we're talking about the worth that God has for us. He loves me. And as the creator and as the maker of me, the designer of me, He purposed the purpose for me. What verses do you think we could turn to in the Bible that would assure me of the great worth that God places on me and my role as a woman? What are some that y'all put down?
Genesis 1:26-27,
the making of God. Right. Made in the image of God. Foremost. And who is Eve? Why did God create Eve?
The only companion.
The perfect companion. The perfect answer for man's problem. Just like Jesus was the only answer for man's sin, woman is the only answer for man's problem for companionship. And God made me for that. Okay, in Proverbs 12:4, it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is rottenness to his bones. But the crown, it's a glory to man, an excellent wife. In Proverbs 18:22, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. We are God's favor, grace to man. Any other thoughts on that? On that? That was my number one too. What's another one? What's another passage you might turn to show great worth that a woman, you know, that God tells about in His book? Proverbs 31. What's that about?
Perfect.
The virtuous woman. She's not perfect, I'm sure, but I know you're virtuous, right? That I know. Tell me about her, Dawn, a little bit. Why would you turn there to see the value and the worth of a woman?
When you're reading it, it talks about, I mean, you're seeing material things, but if you're really reading it, I think it also talks about that she does everything for her house and for her husband and for her children. It's not to make herself look good. It's she's doing everything for her family.
Right?
To make them look good.
In verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. And 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her. Verse 30 is the bottom line, the beginning and the end of it. Charm and deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And verse 12 says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life, like Dawn was talking about. This woman, this is a mama, evidently, whose son is the king. And she's talking about a wife, an excellent wife who can find. And we can turn and we can see, because this is God's Word, the Holy Spirit writes here about a virtuous woman who clothes herself because she fears the Lord. She's going to do His commandments. And she's going to do those things that is going to clothe herself and to clothe her family in order for them that when the bad times and the winds and the snows of this life come, they're going to be able to withstand. I do not believe that she goes and buys a field. I don't think that she, you know, does all those physical things that she said. It's how she does her caring love, how diligent and how prudent and how she encourages and how she imparts the kindness and the strength and the dignity that she has. That's what she has on her and how she blesses everyone around her. And that's what God wants us to be. That is excellent. And we can look to this passage to see a praiseworthy woman and the value that God puts on it as an excellent wife. Another one. What? Right. And our children are to see us honoring, right? Also. And so that's the beginning, you know, sometimes of teaching is by our action. Our children will see that. And then we're to teach the children also to honor. Very good. That they are to be honored. And in Proverbs, it talks about, and in other passages in the Bible, back in Leviticus, it talks about when a son doesn't honor his mom and dad, and when he is disobedient, the Israelites, by God's command, was told to take him to the elders and have him stoned, and they were to cast the first stone. That's how important it is to God for children to honor their parents and to be respectful and to obey. Another one. What's another one? About passages we can turn to that show that God included some women in this book to show us.
A whole host of them. Dorcas,
right.
The woman who you mentioned earlier who let Jesus keep their tears and their anointing
right.
for his burial and said she had done all she could do. The widow who gave all she had, Lois and Eunice,
Abigail,
Deborah, Ruth, Moses' mother, Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the women who helped Jesus. And you just go on and on and on. It's
exactly.
All through. Women have always been part of God's work. Deborah,
right.
Who was a judge in Israel.
In Titus 2, it talks about younger women and older women and their role. In the gospel and in the teaching for Christian women, Paul told the preachers, you teach these young women, you know, and have the older women to teach these young women to be, you know, love their home and to love their husband and to love their children, and for the older women to train the younger women. I mean, it is so important, because then Timothy and Titus both talk about elders and deacons. And in Timothy's book, Paul writing to Timothy, he talks about deacons' wives. He talks about the qualifications for elders. And if you go over and if you read the qualifications for elders there, other than Acts 20, which we know is how they are to be able to perform their duties. But it talks about families. And I'm here to tell you, ladies, if a man doesn't have a wife that is godly and that is not an excellent wife, he's not going to be able to manage his house like he's supposed to. He's not going to be able to train his children in order to be above reproach. I know some mighty good men who've trained themselves, who prepared themselves, who have knowledge, who has discretion, who has some of the qualifications, who try to teach their children, but their wives are a hindrance to them being able to serve. The deacon's wife talks about her character. It talks about how she's to prepare herself. And so even to being a wife to the special servants in God's kingdom, in God's church, in Christ's church, means that a woman is important there. And the kind of woman is of great value to God. We talked about Abigail. All the women that's listed in Romans 16. They're just there as a part of a group of Christians. But Paul mentions women in Romans 16. And like we said, Deborah, the Samaritan woman, the whole city would have not known, come and hear Jesus. Just one little Samaritan woman at the well. And God used her and praised her, and a whole city come out to hear Jesus, and many believed. Not just because of what she said, because they heard the word, bringing others to Jesus. Great value in that. And the Holy Spirit included that in God's word. Okay, we're going to stop. I'm sorry that we did not get to the songs. try to pick up a little bit faster next week. Lord willing, we'll look at these songs, finish up, and then start on lesson two. I have on your sheet others. If you would rather look at some other songs besides the ones that I have mentioned here, please feel free to write them down and make that suggestion next Wednesday. Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts, comments?